Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond's here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Thanks for checking out In That Number with me, Kevin the Moscow Mush Milverton. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/InThatNumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number, part of the Sports Social Network. This is episode 214. On Remembrance Sunday, we acknowledge the sacrifice of those who served their country and acknowledge our responsibility to work for the peace they fought hard to achieve. And may I say how impeccably observed both sets of fans were at the game in those moments of reflection pre-game. So today, we will go through that West Brom game, another massive result, three more points to add on this streak as we extend it to 8 undefeated and a valuable win against a fellow promotion candidate. With me to bask in this latest triumph is, of course, the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton and Tim Bazance. Kevin, how about that then?
Tough team to play, tough match, ding-dong battle, but yeah, we came out victors somehow.
Somehow. And Tim, yeah, the points keep on coming. And you said last week this was one of the biggest games of the season. If you get 3 points here, then, you know, what a statement that put out. And we got them.
Yeah, it was a match that we took advantage of the few opportunities we truly made. And we'll take it, run away with it, and say, I don't want to play West Brom again, because that was not a fun matchup. It was very nervy, and I did not like it overall, but happy we came out with a win and fantastically feeling good with 8 games unbeaten.
Superb. Yeah, and unfortunately, Tim, we do have to go to the Hawthorn still, but yeah, not just yet. We go there in 2024. But yeah, unbeaten in 8, as you said. Yeah, 3 wins on the spin, put some pressure on Leeds. Leicester lost again. We sit 1 point behind Leeds now and 9 behind Leicester and Ipswich, who are a joint top now. And after this international break, we take on Huddersfield, of course. And Ipswich travel to West Brom. However, Leeds will travel to Rotherham. Leicester take on Watford, I think. But is it wrong to be watching other fixtures at this point, Kev?
We're always watching other fixtures. It doesn't matter where we are on the table. If we're looking to climb up it, get off the bottom, or stick to the top, you have to watch out for the other teams around you and what they're up to understand your position in the league. But it's looking good. It's looking a lot better than it was this time last month.
Yes, yeah, it certainly is. But yeah, I find myself looking up now thinking, oh, who have Leicester got? Can we take some points off of them?
It's better that way.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Yeah, if you want to join our Discord, if you're interested, then just get in touch and join in with all our game discussions, predictions, everything, yeah. Free to enter. If you want to join us, then get in touch and we'll get you in. And also, if you're enjoying the show, show your support to us by visiting buymeacoffee.com/in that number. Okay, ITN News.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, Russell Martin was shortlisted for Championship Manager of the Month for his masterful 11 points in October. The winner was announced on Friday. But the other candidates were Michael Carrick of Middlesbrough, Enzo Maresca of Leicester, and Kieran McKenna for Ipswich. All deserved, actually. But the winner was Enzo Maresca. I think it's safe to say he won't get a nomination for November. Two losses out of the two. And I think it's safe to say that Russell Martin will also skip that discussion for November. Yes, we may be winning, but he picked up his third touchline booking and will now face a touchline ban. Matt Gill will be on the technical area at the John Smith Stadium while Martin sits in the stands with us fans. So that's a little bit of breaking news there. Got some injury news as well from Jack Stevens. He's back on the grass, and I'm not talking about the cannabis.
This is smoking weed again.
That was set him back further, I think, I'm sure. But it's a big step up, but the timescale remains the same. I mean, from his injury on the 26th of August, it was that long ago, they said 10 to 12 weeks until he's back on the pitch, and it's been 11. So it shouldn't be too much longer with this break that we've got now. That's only going to help. But that's some really difficult decisions to make in that centre-back position now. And when Stevens went down, we suffered with those four losses. And since then, you've got Bednarik and THB. They've been brilliant. I mean, Holgate come in for the suspended Bednarik yesterday and put in a blinder. That's three centre-backs in tip-top form. So our captain's going to struggle for playing time, surely. I'm just glad that I don't have to make the decisions, because I guess he's going to be damned if he does and damned if he doesn't, Kev.
Certainly is.
I mean, it's a good problem to have.
Absolutely. I don't see Stevens getting back in the lineup. Harwood Bellis has been absolutely phenomenal and fantastic. Bednarik has deservedly kept his spot in and played well. And I think he'd be above Holgate in the charge, except for Holgate's, well, most recently, this game, he's played really well. I don't think he's getting in. I think he's going to be a captain on paper, but not in the lineup.
Mm. I've almost forgotten that he was captain. Because in my mind, Adam Armstrong's been captain for so long now, longer than Jack Stevens probably now.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
So it just seems weird to be talking about our captain not being able to get into the team.
But yeah, like I say, it's good problems. There's been a fixture change for the festive period. That Plymouth game, which is on Friday the 29th of December, has now been changed to a 6 p.m. kickoff because it's been selected for Sky Sports. I'm not happy with that, really, because I mean, I have to work early on Saturday morning, so it's going to be straight from St Mary's to work. So yeah, Kev, have you got any news?
Yeah, just a couple of things. First of all, I want to say that just a big thank you to Laurie Mack, who's final column for the Echo came out, and he's retiring from that now after how long's it been? Yeah, 20 years or so. I guess it had to happen at some point. And hope he enjoys his retirement.
Yeah, a lot of these legends are retiring from us, really, aren't they? You've got Laurie McMenemy now retiring from his work, and you've got obviously we just had Dave Merrington.
Alex McCarthy as well.
Yeah, and Dave Merrington.
Under 17s, they are in action. They are on international duty. And Sam Amior, Jaden McGoma, and Tyler Dippling, they all featured in England's 10-0win over New Caledonia. But that's not important.
double digits, yeah.
Do we all know what? Do we all know where that is?
I don't know. Yes,
Oceania.
Pacific Island.
Yeah, I do know where it is. Yeah,
belongs to the French.
Yeah.
That's about all I know about it.
So in other words, we beat France 10-0, yeah?
Well, we beat some French islanders. Yeah. So it's some small islands. We beat them 10-0. Tyler Gibb-Dibling scored, and so did Amayor.
Everyone scored.
Yeah, be quicker to tell you who wasn't on the score sheet.
Well, Magoma wasn't, but yeah. Kev, we've got a little bit of transfer news that's cropped up. I know we're still a month away from the window open, or just over a month away from that. But there's been some noise of a potential incoming former Blackburn forward Ben Brereton Diaz coming in on loan from Villarreal. His move there hasn't quite gone to plan. I mean, we know he can do it in the Championship. He scored 36 goals in 80 appearances for Blackburn.
Oh, God, here we go again. Signing another striker from that scored shitloads of goals for Blackburn.
Yeah, but Adam Armstrong did, and he's you know, he's now doing it in the Championship. He's a Championship player, as is Diaz, by the sounds of it. And
we not have enough Championship strikers. I mean, we've got Sekou Mara, Paul Onuachu, Adam Armstrong, Ross Stewart.
Don Ballard,
well, he's a League One striker, isn't he?
Yeah. But wow, I mean, if this is more than just a rumour, I think we do have to be concerned over Shea's future, because, you know, we've got Ross Stewart.
Oh, fuck, I didn't even mention him, did I?
No, exactly. This is it. You get Ross Stewart back in. Diaz on the horizon, possibly. Armstrong scoring. You've got Mara hanging around like a bad smell. Is Shea going to be surplus now? I mean, I will say...
He's one out at this stage, isn't it?
Well, that says that he's out then, doesn't it? If this is true, this rumour, I will say there's competition from the Premier League as well over Diaz, Brereton Diaz. I've got Palace and Burnley, they're interested. He'll also, you know, you think he's got to be mad to pass on a 6-month deal to play in the Premier League, though. And we've also got to compete with West Brom and Leicester, who are on the pool. So, I mean, maybe on the pool, yeah. Maybe it will come down to the package and whether there's an option or obligations to buy, but I don't know whether we're still committed to Shea Adams or not. I don't know. I mean, if we are, you'd think a new deal would have been signed by now.
I imagine so. I think I didn't want him to go in. Well, it wasn't the summer, was it? It was the end of the transfer window, and we're kind of half expecting him to go. He didn't. I was happy. He was looking like he was playing really well, and ever since then, just hasn't looked up to it at times, and hasn't looked capable at others. I don't think he's scored since. Deadline day, so yeah, we're not really losing out, despite him being probably my favourite player.
It's a weird one, because everyone says that he doesn't look like he wants to be here, but when I saw him warming up yesterday, him and Sam Adozie warming up together, they looked happy, both of them laughing, joking, and you know, it didn't look like he was whining and whinging about not being in the starting lineup. So I mean, we just don't know, do we?
No, I mean, it looks like he does put a shift in, but it just doesn't seem to be enough. I mean, I guess his head's not in the right place to be making those good decisions. I think if there hadn't been those transfer rumours, we would have seen sort of prime Shea Adams. This would be his... Yeah, the Championship could have been his playground.
Yeah.
He should have been knocking them in for fun, and he hasn't.
Yeah, and at the moment, you can't put him in the team. Because who goes out? Because everyone that's there instead of him are playing, you know, very well at the moment. They're on top form, so doesn't deserve to be in that side right now. But you could say the same about Ross Stewart as well.
He hasn't done anything not to deserve being inside.
Well, no. But we have had one outgoing this week, and we've had goalkeeper Jack Bycroft has joined National League side Oxford City. On loan until January. So it's a short-term emergency loan. And he's already spent a short-term loan spell at Aldershot, where he kept one clean sheet in his brief three-stint loan.
100% record.
Yeah. And also, Kev, whilst we're chatting transfer news, I thought I'd take the time and talk about the possibility of extending a stay for current loanee. Now, they always say don't fall in love with a loanee, but I think, Kevin, you're quite head over heels for Ryan Fraser.
I do like the move, yeah.
Yeah. And could we make this move a permanent one? Because, I mean, I think his desire to stay is quite clear. He seems to like it here. He's always commented on the fans and how we treat him. We also have to take into account his Scotland career as well, because, I mean, if he stays at Southampton, although he's a bench role player at the moment, he's getting some game time and he's getting goals, he's getting assists. But by all accounts, he's making a huge impact in the dressing room too. Whereas if he goes back to Eddie Howe and Newcastle in his, you know, his current deal, it runs out in the summer of 2025, he won't be getting any time there. And there's rumours that he's fallen out with Eddie Howe. And he seems to have a strong relationship with Russell Martin. So if there's a possibility we can make this happen, surely this is the player that we need to get, even in his current role as a bench player.
Yeah, and for Newcastle, the quicker they get it done, the better, because they can command the higher price for him the earlier they do the deal.
Yeah, but if we keep hold of him for more and he's you know, getting these goal involvements, aren't they going to request a lot of money for him? Too much money for him, perhaps? Price us out?
Well, I mean, this is... not a paradox, but those two things work against each other. I think his price is quite stable. The longer he stays, the less his contract's worth, because he's running time out on his contract with Newcastle, which is at the end of next season, isn't it?
2025, the summer of, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the less he's got in his contract with them, the less it's going to be worth. And he's getting older as well. So him proving himself more, I don't think it's going to add a lot to his price. So I think we should take what they're offering and offload somebody in the January window.
Well, the likelihood that we do bring in Fraser on a permanent, if we don't get promoted, then, you know, Newcastle will be fine with that, sending him down to the Championship. But if we do go up, then it will be, you know, we'll be playing against his current Newcastle side. So is that going to bump his price up a little bit more?
I think it's an afterthought for Newcastle. They've already gone and don't even think about Ryan Fraser even exists anymore. So it's more on us whether or not we're going to get promoted. Is he going to want to come and play in the Championship next year if we don't get promoted? Or, well, if we do get promoted, then yeah, he'll definitely want to come and play with us. So I think you're going to see something in the range of, if we get promoted, they'll probably sell it. They'll probably want to sell him for, let's say, £4 or 5 million. He's going to be a bench squad player and would be around with us for a while. If we don't get promoted, that's the tricky element, because what does he want to do? Does he want to stay around and stick around in the Championship for a little while? Well, who knows? But I think historically he's not towards the end of his Bournemouth career, there was a little bit of fallout there. He definitely has pissed off Eddie Howe along the way. So what's different about us? Questions you want to ask. I would love to have him. I think he'd be a great squad player into the Premier League. And I think that in that £5 million range going into this offseason, when we get promoted, is going to be what's going to happen.
Well, I mean, if we don't get promoted, I think his chances of staying at Saints is better, because I think we'll lose the likes of Sulemana and Alcaraz. They'll be wanting to play in the Premier League. So there is a chance that he would stay or want to stay, as long as he's getting the game time. I mean, if he's a direct replacement for Sulemana, then fine. But if we do get another player in to replace Sulemana, if this happens, then yeah, we don't know. But again, this is all speculation. We don't know. But the bottom line is we want him in, don't we? I mean, he seems like he wants to be here. So I think we should try and make that move. So if you're listening, the powers that be, yeah, make it happen, because we all love him.
In January, you mean?
Well, if that's a possibility, why not?
I mean, they could sign a deal for the summer now. I suppose that could happen in the transfer window. But you've got to remember that at this level, the transfer money itself isn't such a big consideration. You've got to think of the wages. So the longer Newcastle is subsidising his wages at Saints, he's going to have to take a cut going from a Premiership team to a Championship side, even if it's a Championship side that gets promoted. So, yeah, he's not going to take a cut in wages now, but they might be able to preliminarily agree a deal for the summer.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, yeah, loan watch. Dom Ballard, yesterday, his Reading side lost 3-2 at Shrewsbury, but he scored. That's 3 goals in his 10 games. So he's had 5 starts, and he has the best goals per game in the side. But, yeah, difficult loss, that one, because they were 2-0 up inside 15 minutes. ended up losing 3-2, and the last two Shrewsbury goals were the 92nd and 96th minute. So it's a terrible, terrible way to lose. Paul Onuachu, he's at it again. His Trabzonspor side took on Konyaspor, and they won 2-1, both goals scored by the Nigerian Nightmare. And one of them was an absolute peach. So I don't know if you've seen it, but make sure you check it out. Under-21s, they haven't played. They've had a little break, and they next play AFC Stoneham on Tuesday, the 14th of November. That's at Stoneham Lane in the Servio Men's Senior Cup.
Serbian Men's?
No, Servio. It's a sponsor. It's a Hampshire FA Senior Cup. Yes, and the women, they played Sheffield United last Sunday, Sunday the 5th, and they won 2-1. Goals from Sophia Farah and Katie Wilkinson. And then midweek, Continental Cup action away at Reading and a 1-0 win to make it 2-2 in that competition. Lexi Lloyd-Smith with the only goal there. And their next match, well, they're playing right now. They're playing Charlton Athletic at St Mary's. That kicked off at 2 o'clock and currently it is 0-0. Under-18s, yeah. The late show is finding its way down to the youth side also because they played Reading at Staplewood on Wednesday evening. They found themselves 1-0 down. They scored the equaliser through Tommy Dobson-Ventura in the 80th minute after being on the field for 5 minutes. And then Harrison Miles scored the winner in the 92nd minute. So, yeah, great stuff there.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And they next play Man United at Staplewood on Saturday the 25th. And that's 11 a.m. kickoff.
Do they call him the Southampton B ace?
Ace Ventura, yeah. I was thinking of Jesse. Jesse the Body Ventura.
Again, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
He was a wrestler. He was also an actor. He was in Predator, if you remember.
Jesse Ventura was also the governor of the state of Minnesota.
Oh, I didn't know that, but there you go. Everybody knows Jesse Ventura, Kev. Bloody hell.
Well, obviously not everybody, because I don't know who the fuck he is.
No. You're a nobody then, clearly.
Mm. Thanks.
Anyway, on to the West Brom game then. Last 14 meetings against West Brom were in the Premier League. It's the first championship meeting between the two since 2007-2008, but both teams heading in top form. Three straight wins for the Baggies. And Saints unbeaten in seven, of course, winning five of those. Saints had 17 points in the past previous seven. West Brom 16 in that same stretch. That form is reflected on the table, of course. But we extended that streak. So that's eight now, three wins in a row for us. Goals from Will Smallbone, his third of the season, and goal number nine for our number nine, Adam Armstrong. So excellent, excellent stuff. And the starters then... Good thing in terms of the starters, you know, not changed the week before, but we had one enforced, and that was Jan Bednarek, of course, picking up the suspension. He picked up his fifth yellow card against Millwall. There was an appearance on the bench for Ross Stewart, who did make a debut coming on for match winner Adam Armstrong in the 83rd minute. Once again, Kev, the team picks itself, aside from that one enforced. Nothing to argue about. Right?
You don't need a manager, do you? If the team picks itself, if it starts training itself, I think you can go and lie on a beach somewhere. Bednarek out, Holgate in. We're all very nervous about that. But yeah, rest of it's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. Tim, no arguments with the starting 11.
Everything is slotted right in, and Holgate was the well, the only option at center back. You could have concluded Shea Charles, but
he's
definitely the defensive midfielder. So everything made sense. Right choice.
Yeah. And it didn't take long to pay off, did it? Got ahead inside 5 minutes. Will Smallbone, that chant that you made last week, Kev, seems to have worked, and that song has been in my head all week.
You should just pipe it out in the Itchen South. You should just climb to the back of the gods up there in the chapel. Just start shouting it, and it will catch on.
Yeah, lovely build-up play there from Alcaraz and Stu. He pulls it back into the box for Adam Armstrong. He hit it straight at Alex Palmer, only to find its way to Will Smallbone. Doesn't quite find the net, but over the line just.
Yeah, this type of goal is a Saints classic. Just a fast, lot of fast passing, run to the line, cut it back, and wait for someone to make the run and tap it in.
Space, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how many of our goals have come like that this season, but it seems to be at least a quarter of them.
And, you know, it wasn't quite clear in the stadium if it crossed the line or not. So I was kind of like gauging the reaction from the West Brom fans, and they weren't too happy, like you'd expect. But no complaints from the players on both sides. No need for technology. And then, you know, when the defender tried to clear it, he was actually standing in the net. So,
yeah. That's pretty obvious, that one. Is there no goal line technology either in the championship?
Yeah, of course there is. I think if you've got the stadium to do it, which we already have, then yes, I think it can be used.
The single easiest thing to do. I mean, that they did it before VAR even came in, didn't they?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Just the cameras up on the goal line, isn't it? Up in the stands, and just easy to do. But yeah, clear goal.
I was actually pleasantly surprised that they called it, because you saw the ref.
So was I.
Give it, yeah. Well, the ref gave it, I mean, a good 2, maybe 3 seconds after the ball supposedly crossed the line. The player who cleared it was in complete line of the line judge, who is the one who's going to be sitting there. And he was sitting there literally on it, but the player is right there. And if it wasn't for a potential, I mean, he was a little bit farther back. I mean, it was tough. It was a lot tougher than it seemed. And I couldn't find any definitive angle without actually just sticking like a camera on the bottom end of the crossbar, which I think would actually be a pretty fun camera to have if there is one. It was tough.
Like, well, if there was, it would have been smashed off anyway in the second half when they hit the bar, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that would have been, like, just put a little GoPro up there and they can live feed if it needs to. But that was that was scary.
What if someone hits the bar and the camera moves, you know?
That's what I mean. Yeah, it would have been smashed. They did hit the bar, didn't they? That end as well. I mean, it would have just come down and hit Baz on the head. And yeah, I don't know. But I was over the other side of the stadium, and I didn't know it was in. I couldn't see it. And they showed the replay of the goal on the big screen, and I still wasn't clear. I thought, did that actually go in? The bloke behind me said, oh, I don't care. Who cares? They've given it. Let's just move on. No VAR. 1-0. So I was like, yeah, that's a good point. Let's just move on.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Definitely take it.
We looked good in spells. Looked threatening in spells. Again, some nice passing, nice build-up play, plenty of possession, getting into the box, and we just weren't clinical enough at times. I think I remember when we did pass our way into the box, and Will Smallbone just cracked one at sight, and it was just nowhere near, really. But that was kind of like the story of the game, wasn't it? There was just not enough of not enough of testing the goalkeeper, really. The pressure, as we expected, it did come from West Brom. I mean, Darnell Furlong was channeling his Rory Delap with those monster throw-ins. Like Tim alluded to last week, they've got a lot of height, they've got a lot of strength. And they forged their best chance at the half when Brandon Thomas Asante hit one just about wide. That was a scary moment. I think it actually came off of Holgate for a corner. But yeah,
didn't.
Was there any worry that they were going to score that way? You know, with those long throws and chipping the ball in the box. And I know they didn't have a lot of chances. I don't know the stats at half time, but I know there wasn't many. I mean, Pazuna had barely anything to do, same as their keeper, though, really. But you felt like their route back into the game was going to be using their height and strength.
Yes, absolutely. And that's their intention overall. I don't have the halftime stats, but at the end of the game, they had 27 crosses into the box.
Yeah, so clear plan, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the intention, where in comparison, Southampton had 13. So the plan itself was to get there, their height, their experience, and as we could tell, their physicality, because there were various chances where if we weren't in the right position, or Holgate wasn't too physical enough, or THB wasn't able to just sneak his way through and get a header in, they could have easily gotten one or even two more than they got because of the.
And when they went off at the end of the first half, the fans were cheering, standing up, clapping them off, which was nice because we had the lead. But there's going to come a moment, which we've had virtually in every single game, where we sit back on a lead and allow opponents a route back in, and it does happen again, because that second half was painful. It wasn't good to watch. We looked tired early on in that second half. Looked tired. Russ used all his five subs. Stu looked gassed. Alcaraz looked gassed too. And both those players played the full 90. So all the players that he took off, it was like, oh my goodness, are they even more tired than those? That surprised me really. But I don't know. The pressing just kind of ceased. It should just be a fly on that wall in the dressing room and see what he's actually saying to them at halftime. Because he said, or you've said this before, that he's instructing the team not to play that way. So it must just be a player mentality thing. But it just always seems to happen, doesn't it?
Yeah, we seem to go out into the second half and have our guards drop almost immediately. I don't know how that happens, but yeah, 15, 20 minutes after half time. So you can bet in the first 30 minutes, 30 to 60 or something. If I was a betting man, I'd be betting, 45 to 70 that our opponents will score a goal, absolutely, whatever the odds are.
Yeah, it's a good bet. It's an easy bet. But, Tim, we struggled to get the ball, and it's something that shouldn't be happening. And why does this keep happening time and time again? It's just making things uncomfortable, more uncomfortable than it needs to be.
So I tried investigating this and working back. So to me, what ends up happening is it's a series of small errors. It's not one thing that's going to be better than the other. For example, Alcaraz in like the 60th minute or so, he had basically a turnover that was on a far pass that was a little bit more of a stretch, and we were caught out of position from it. And because they were caught out of position, you were able to, sling it back in and get the ball farther down the wings faster than we expected. And secondly, then, is when Moet came in, who's got an amazing, he's got some pace on him, and he's got some swing play. They were still able to build out through the outside. So you would see it wouldn't necessarily be, playing to the middle and then trying to clog things up. They were really finding those triangles to be able to build and get those crosses out. As we saw, the one, for example, where they were able to, where Manning got just hit over the top from Townsend's cross in, and he just completely got, Darnell Furlong, who was, came over the top of him. And that was just the sequence of play that, little things that they were able to find, capitalize on little mistakes, and Moat being able to build through really allowed for the opportunity for them to continue press on.
Yeah, and that equalizer was coming, Kev. And Kyle Bartley got it with the last touch, and it was probably deserved, and using their height, getting the balls into the box. Thomas Asante from a recycled corner, he headed one off the bar, and then Bartley's on hand to tap it in. But Thomas Asante was unmarked. Just an error from the defence there, or just tiredness creeping in.
They weren't Stu and Alcaraz on him, but they lost him pretty quickly. But yeah, I mean, they're a well-drilled team. They know exactly what they have to do, and they definitely play to their strengths. Like you said, like getting a lot of crosses into the box using their height. That's exactly what they did to great effect. Saved by the bar, but not by the keeper.
Mm. Yeah, and they kept coming because, Darnell Furnell smashed the bar again from another cross and the header. I mean, that's the way to do it against us, isn't it? I mean, Tim, you said they had 27 crosses into the box at the end.
It's shitloads,
isn't it? It's too many, isn't it? But, it was a wake-up call then. 1-0, you know, it goes to 1-1. They hit the crossbar. The only way you can see this happening now is if we hang on for a 1-1 or they're going to take it 2-1. But we made them changes. Ryan Fraser comes on, Kev, for the injured Will Smallbone. Don't quite know what the problem is there. It looked like a hamstring injury, didn't it? I don't know if you were watching the stream and they said that, you know, it could be a while out for him. We struggled to make the most of the possession in that first half, and we get the ball in the final third. We go backwards and sideways. It's just something that we saw last season, which was really, really unnerving. Failed to find a key pass, and then Fraser comes on. And then deliver, as soon as the ball goes to Fraser, he runs with it and delivers the ball into the box, and we score from it. Just that directness that he brings and something different. And it's just a shame that he won't get the assist on that. But, yeah, Adam Armstrong, just a chance that he's not going to miss, and grabbing his 9th for the season at 7 at St Mary's.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to care about getting the plaudits on the 3 points on fantasy fucking championship. He doesn't care. He seems like a team player and was just as delighted as everyone else that he's made another valuable contribution to another late goal. But yeah, I can't wait to get back to St Mary's and see him in action.
Yes, it's definitely good. Tim, I want to talk to you about the yellow card for Russ. I don't know how you saw it, because I guess I kind of missed it from where I was, but Alcaraz got booked for dissent, apparently. There was a foul on Kyle Walker-Peters that just got skimmed over. Russell Martin stands up, shows his disgust, and he got punished for it. I understand that the officials are cracking down heavily on this now this year. And by the letter of the law, it's the right decision. But, I mean, we love it. We love a manager doing stuff like that, right?
You want a manager who can show aggression in that, and have that fire underneath him to say that this is my team and I'm going to fight for it. So Kyle Walker-Peters basically got down into the box, fell, and, you know, the sequence of the situation where he's being around and laying there. And because of that, that's where Alcaraz ran his mouth, Martin ran his mouth, and they got their yellows for dissent. So to me, I like it. I like that he's got the fire. He's got the mentality. It's a 2-1. It's still close. They're pushing through, and we don't want to let them get that. We don't want to let them get that extra, you know, next couple chances that they can hopefully score. So if him taking the yellow fired up the team enough to be able to get to allow us to continue that 2-1 win, I'll take it. And yeah, I mean, you could. I don't know what he's up there doing, what he's saying outside of that's a shit call, or you're a big doo-doo head, or, you know, you know, I took your mother out for a last night and she didn't call me back. So please have her call me back. I don't know what he's saying. So
I don't think it was that. But yeah, no, it's some
sister maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Do a Zidane thing. But yeah.
Yeah. I fucked just. Yeah. And that doesn't really work, does it? Yeah, I fucked your sister, mate. That's what it does.
What's that got to do with Kyle Walker-Peters? I'm sorry, I'm giving you a yellow card there.
Yeah. Oh, you. Oh, shit, I don't want to get a red. Yeah, what happens when a manager gets a red? They go
and sit in the stand straight away.
Do they get a 3-match suspension? And
yeah, like, depending on the sincerity of the dissent, yeah.
And that would overturn the... Right, okay, it'd get even worse.
But either way, I'm pretty sure he never said anything about his sister. I'm pretty sure
they usually give him so they give him 2 yellows and then they get the ban. So Mourinho has historically done that a lot, where he's gotten some 2 yellows and gotten kicked out and suspended. But I don't think I've ever seen a manager get a straight red.
Third yellow card. Now he picked 2 up. I think he got one against
Gillingham.
Yeah. Gillingham and Ipswich, I believe, picked up another one. But yes, that's his first, so he won't be there for the Huddersfield game.
Suspension tightrope's different for managers than it is for players.
Well, yeah, because they don't tackle unless you're Mike Tomlin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who's Mike Tomlin? Jesus, yeah. I don't know anything about the people you're talking about.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Ah, okay. That's ice hockey, isn't it?
No, that's American football. It's Pittsburgh Penguins in hockey, you dumbass. Anyway,
can't we keep it to English sports? Just no, from that.
Yeah. Okay.
We're trying to find the only. That's the only time I can ever think of a head coach getting kicked out of a game for any reason. What they would have to do. That is the only time that I can think of it. Unless, like, for a red card, like, if you physically assaulted the fourth referee, like, you took the time clock and said, no, I didn't want 4 extra minutes. I wanted 12 extra minutes because my team is down, and then you smash it and you break it and then they throw off. That would probably dictate a red card, and that would also be funny.
And probably an arrest.
Well, you're not physically hurting him. You're just taking the device and then throwing.
Yeah, but that's vandalism. That's an arrestable offence. You could end up in the clink.
Yes.
Okay. Everything's gone over my head today, mate. Everything.
That's fine. We'll move on. There was a debut for Ross Stewart. And it's finally here. We got a bite-sized taste of him. 14 minutes.
Do we think he's sexy?
14 minutes, including the stoppage time. Not much for him to do. I mean, he went out wide on the right, didn't he? Which was a bit of a surprise. I can't read too much into it, though, because, given the game situation. But it was important for him to get out there and, you know, for the fans to give him a cheer. But he did show some willingness to press, and he almost won the ball back up high as well. So, yeah, it looked like he was chomping at the bit.
Too early to judge. I don't think he was... I mean, he was a like-for-like substitution for Adam Armstrong. We saw him for, 10 minutes?
14.
Yeah, okay.
With the 7 minutes of stoppage time. So, yeah, 7 minutes left in the game and then 7 minutes of stoppage time.
Yeah, I can't say I paid a huge amount of attention to his game reserve judgment on him.
I know we've got a week off now before Huddersfield. And where and how will he slot in at Huddersfield? And do we change a winning team or do we give our £10 million striker a start? And if we do, who misses out? You've got to think it's got to be Charlie or Stu, surely. I mean, Stu's probably going to be recovering after 97 minutes of football, right? And that's going to take at least a fortnight.
Yeah, I mean, I think we might see a change of formation if Smallbone is going to be out with that injury. Maybe Downs and Charles is a double pivot and then a midfield three.
Yeah, no, I didn't even think about that. That's probably true. You want to put Adam Armstrong and Ross Stewart in at the same time?
You could do that, can't you? You can put Armstrong out on one wing and Simone on the other.
You could play a 4-2-2-2.
You could do, or you could play Alcaraz behind Stewart and see how that works out.
Yeah, possibilities. But yeah, that an agonising 7 minutes of added time, and it's probably the worst that I've witnessed because, yeah, it was just horrible. And I was even thinking to myself at this point, right, 2-2 is a positive result. And we still remain undefeated in 8. But yeah, to come away with the win is huge. But yeah, I don't know. How did you see it, Kev? Did you see the minutes just going slow? Or did you think, we got this?
Kind of half and half. I mean, it was looking a lot worse at the beginning of the second half than it was by the end. You just had to believe that they're tough.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The tenacity to not switch off, keep tight defensively, and do what we need to do to get out of the line. Just about did it. I can't say that we're deserving winners. I think if West Brom had done a bit more, we could have said that they deserved to win. But I think, on balance, draw would have been a good result. So it's these are the bonus points that we were losing last time. Last season we were losing games that we were better, and now we're not necessarily playing as well and picking up the points still. So long may it continue.
Yeah, and it kind of like you can swap it for that Rotherham one. You know, you get a point against West Brom and you take the three against Rotherham, things like that. But yeah, Tim, big win. Such good form for both sides. And, you know, this will put the rest of the league on notice, won't it, surely? I mean, they'll be looking at us and thinking, yeah, the Saints are coming.
Absolutely. We're a team that they don't want to play. I think what I want to consider the top four at the moment are the scariest. And that would be Leicester, Ipswich, Leeds, and us. We are all on a roll, and we are all significantly talented and can take anybody at any place, any location. So I'll take it, run with it, and love it, because it's a joy to be able to win, but I do not like this league. It is so nervy. It is so I'm knackered after watching a game. I don't know how you can even do it in person there. I feel like the tension, like you're, you know, it's tough. It's gonna be tough.
It gradually gets harder as well, because you know, you start the game well, and then you can see us slipping into this. Oh no, this, we're gonna mess this up, and then, you know, the 7 minutes go up, and you just think, I don't want to see this. I just want to go. Then it wasn't a very deserved win. I'm gonna give you the XG now. Saints had 1.0, West Brom 2.2. So that suggests better scoring opportunities for West Brom. But like Tim said, we made the most of our two chances that we had. And you know, they had the edge on those corners as well, which is always a threat. But yeah, we've come away with the 3 points here. So let's celebrate this. Probably, maybe. You're right. We probably didn't deserve to get the 3 points.
So when Moa came in that last 55th, 56th minute or so, he completely changed the game for them and was able to have, I mean, basically full movement, press and play, everything was really good. And in terms of most impactful person of the game itself, it was him. They had two chances that were off the crossbar or off the post. Thomas Asante and Furlong had two chances there. 2.2 XG, like you mentioned, you know, compared to 1.0, that's just kind of down to luck at some point. So a chances and opportunities that they made the right substitutions to make a difference. They made the right, they put themselves in the right, right spots to get those chances. They just couldn't finish. And where we were clinical enough and were able to find a rhythm between, you know, connecting, whether it be with Armstrong, Alcaraz, Fraser coming in, making all the difference. And then even Stewart, who made that little bit of a cameo. He had two fouls that were, against him because of the way that he was held up, and which was great. And he had one of the crosses that were, and the aerials that he won in the cross, which was one few and far between. And he plays taller than I expected. He had 6'2". He's my height, but he looks just bigger, like a bigger person. And so is the opportunity to have that traditional number nine up front. It'll be interesting to see how he plays off of Adam Armstrong. And you were talking about formation. Who, you know, what do we do? What's going to happen? I think that it's all about, you know, it's not about exactly that formation, rather than what is the movement patterns. And we know that Walker Peters is going to come up from right back and push forward. And if we continue to play Bree at left back, which is great because I think he's solidified it in terms of defense, and the guy is faster than, oh my God, I didn't realize how fast the guy, he's probably like one of the five fastest players on the field, which is pretty cool. So, you know, challenges, take-ons, situation, it was just a great game that we capitalized on the situation. And this is the difference where good teams come out when they aren't necessarily as playing as well to win the game. And this is exactly what it is. We beat the teams around us, and this is exactly what the chance was. And that is why we are going to continually be staring for the rest of the season.
It still fall from the table because Leeds obviously beat Plymouth 2-1. We remain that 1 point behind and now have Preston breathing down our necks from fifth, 2 points behind us. So that's 9 wins, 4 losses and 3 draws for 31 points. Kev, do you have any stats?
Yeah, possession. So West Brom, I mean, we already said that they made it uncomfortable for us. They didn't really give us the possession that we're used to. So we're at 53% to their 47%. They had sort of 14 shots to our 10, of which three of ours were on target and only two of theirs. A couple of shots hit the woodwork, didn't they, as well? A couple of shots off target that were, you know, pretty good chances.
Absolutely, yeah. Russell Martin said it was a different win of those we've had previously. I just said to the players it was built on character, spirit, togetherness. The energy from the crowd was amazing. They are one of the best teams we've played. I have so much respect for Carlos. They make it seriously difficult for you. They have a lot of power and athleticism. In the second half, the momentum swung and we were too untidy on the ball. Their goal was coming, but we weren't good enough in that period. It is a big difference to the way we defended the goal at the start of the season. I can't be entirely pleased with the performance, but I can be proud of the way we won in a different way. It pretty much goes on what we were saying. A win, not great at times. The XG, the shots on target was probably against us, but yeah, take the 3 points and we'll head off on the break. Perfect way. Man of the match, who wants to go first?
I'll be very brief about this. I think everyone's performances were, you know, not mediocre, but, you know,
six sevens,
good enough. Sixes and sevens across the board. Baza, maybe a little bit less. He could have probably had better positioning for the goal. But I think the only real thing to say is that we were worried going into this match that we thought that there was a centre-back dilemma. Do we put Shay Charles in there or do we risk playing Holgate? He got that chance. He stepped up and took it. And I thought he had a really good performance. Despite not beating the clean sheet, I thought, he did rather well. So I'm going to give him man of the match, just partly out of sympathy, but mostly because of the performance.
Honourable mentions. I think Will Smallbone put on a show. I think Flynn Downs putting in his now usual performance. I'm going to stick with the stadium's man of the match, and I'm going to give it to Mason Holgate as well, because, he has faced some stick from the fans and from us, and I can't imagine anyone being too comfortable with him getting that start against, you know, a fellow promotion-seeking team. But he did step up, and it's important to show the love and acknowledge that. Hopefully this is it now and he's turned a corner and he can be that more reliable player when needed, if, you know, an injury, rotation or suspension or whatever. But I bet we're all now feeling so much more comfortable if he does step in. 92% pass accuracy, 63 touches, 6 clearances, 4 recoveries, 4 ground duels won, most tackles in the side with 3, 2 accurate long balls and a blocked shot. So, yeah. Great job for Mason Holgate. I think we need a chant for him now, Kev.
Are we home or away next time?
We're away.
All right, you have to wait a little bit then.
But
see how he does against Huddersfield.
But we've got Bristol City in the week afterwards, so the next preview is going to be with two of them. But Tim, who's your man of the match?
This one was tough. If you take a look at all the data aggregators, who scored, SofaScore, Opta, who is the best player from the match, and all of them have somebody who's different for Southampton. So you mentioned a little bit of everybody. Will there be a little Smallbone? My rule is that I want him to play the entire game. He only played 60 minutes of it, so there's that. Adam Armstrong's obvious ability to run around the pitch, play crazy whenever he needs to. Alcaraz making a flair in style. But really what stood out to me were the two center backs, Mason Holgate and Harwood Bellis. To me, you know, playing well, and then ultimately now Holgate coming in, set himself apart by really being a plug and play, and where he's been absolute shit for us, came out and was the stadium's man of the match, and to me is also the man of the match because of the adversity that he dealt with, on top of absolutely taking the professional foul that was necessary on Jed Wallace there. But he absolutely just forearm shoved and took him out like right at the end of the first half, and it was like textbook. You could not have planned it any better. Holgate's just like, yeah, fuck this. Like, he just took him out and said, this is what's going to happen. Yeah, I saw him for like 10 seconds exactly what he was going to do. He knew exactly he was going to take him out. And to me, that is a smart, mature play in knowing when to actually take the tactical foul. So,
yeah, I think there's a lot of people in the crowd that said he could have got a red card for that, because I know there was a long way to go. But, I mean, he would have been bearing down, so it was a good one to take.
There was one player behind him. I was more concerned about him, like, actually getting his forearm up into the guy's face. It was really right at the above the breastbone or above the breastplate. So he could have, like, you know, he didn't take him out with his feet, which is obviously better than by taking him out with the arm. But his arm got so high that I was pleasantly surprised. It really got close to his neck and face. And if he did that, then obviously it would have been a red card.
But yeah, three man of the matches for Mason Holgate. Who would have thought that? No previews.
Men of the matches or man of the...
Oh, I don't know.
Men of the match.
Yeah, men of the match.
Well, it's one man. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
It's your department, Kev, but yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no preview this week because we've got a week off, but we'll do one in the week, which I need to discuss with you, Tim. But we'll go on to the Discord then. Quite a few people going for Saints wins, not you, Kev, or you, Tim, actually. Spare a thought for Dan Fox, actually, who went 2-1 Saints, but then made a major U-turn and went to 1-1.
Shouldn't have listened to us.
No. Well, I don't know. I think maybe it was.
I mean, listen to the podcast, obviously, but don't take our score predictions as gospel.
Well, I don't know, because, I mean, Tim's preview was so anti-Saints, I think. It was all like, oh, we're worried now. But I still went for the 2-1. So maybe it was that he listened to Tim's and thought, well, okay, and yours, because you went for the loss. And that's what turned it around. But
let's be real. West Brom played better than us this game too. So yeah.
I mean, it could have been almost easy. Could have been any of that.
Almost everything that I was talking about came true.
Yeah.
Height, domination, maturity, physicality. But we took the chances because XG was definitely that big stat that said that was the difference.
Any one of our scores could have happened there, but I just happened to go for the one that was the most unlikely, and it paid off. But six of you going for 2-1 Saints. They were Kurt Supple, Kindly Platypus, Lord O'Benny, Colt Baker, Greg Kaplan, and yours truly. Kevin, I leapfrogged you once again. That's like the fifth week in a row, I believe now. So, yeah, we're changing all the time. Tony Mears still leads the way at the top on 30. Tim Brucker and Kurt Supple head, you know, right on his heels now on 29. Super 6, round 16 was Colin Carter on 13. Round 17 was Kevin Byrne on 7. Round 18 is still ongoing. And at the moment, the overall lead is Andrew Knight on 175. Kevin, fantasy football, how is it going?
Why did you have to ask?
I haven't looked, so I don't know.
I have. I'm plumbing new depths every week. 14 points I've got, and only Captain Haaland to play. Van de Ven, he's not got any minutes. What's wrong with him? I don't know. Fuck Spurs. But Gay comes and gets me a point. So, 15. It is terrible. Are any of you guys any worse?
I've got 18, Kev. Not too
18.
Good.
Mm.
But, I mean, I made the right decisions regarding the bench. I also mentioned as well that I was struggling last week, and then Nicholas Jackson came and saved me with a hat-trick. So I did all right last week with him. But, again, Chelsea have got Man City, haven't they? So I'm not expecting much there. But I also have Haaland's captain to play.
Mm-hmm. What about TV's?
19 points right now. Let's see. Matoma's playing. Bowen's playing. Liverpool's playing. So Darwin. And two Man City players in Haaland and Alvarez to go. This has been a shit week for a lot of people.
Kev Leakes?
Yeah, I'd rather not talk about the Podders League. I think, well done, Tim, basically. Okay. Top of our big league is still Chris Bonner, Livril of Lavia Locos. He's got to change that name soon. 730 points. 6 points behind him is Brad S with Brad's Lads and Tommy Rafferty's We Ate Pompey with 713, closing the podium.
Okay. Gaffer?
No changes in the overall standings for anybody here. Some hit and miss players, players that want to highlight. Kev, you got 73 points on the day, which is the highest of the collective group. Things that have helped you out. Things that have helped you out. Somerville with 11 points. Adam Armstrong, vice captain at 16. Jack Clark with 10, but all on a captain, so 5. And let's take a look. And so for me, I screwed it up. I did not put for my bench. I'm missing out on tons of points for my bench. Mbidi at 6 and Lindsay at 9. So Mbidi from Leicester and Lindsay in Preston, the defender at 9. So all in all, no major shakeups. The course is still staying the same. Tim Brucker and Moscow Mush are taking away they're pushing away from the pack. I am pulling up 40 points behind that. and lots and lots and lots of gameplay to go. But overall, definitely a challenge and definitely a long slog of a game. So, and good job, Ray, starting and captaining Adam Armstrong with a total of 22 points, at the highest single point player on the game in the game out of our league.
Okay, right, that is it for this week. Next week, it's another international break, the last of those Euro qualifiers. We won't be here next Sunday, but we do have a few things throughout the week. We'll also have those Huddersfield and Bristol City previews coming to you. But yeah, wish us luck, guys, on the Saints Foundation quiz on Wednesday night at St. Mary's. Our team is ready and raring to go. We are called the Apostles of Nathan Jones. so yeah, hopefully we can not disgrace ourselves and not finish last. So yeah, until then, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.